Here's my heart, Lord. Here's my heart, Lord. Here's my heart, Lord. Speak what is true.
Good morning, church family. It's good to see you here. I hope you're enjoying our series online. It's been a little bit different. Today we're actually up to 1 Samuel 25, and we're introduced to two new characters, a guy called Nabal and his wife Abigail. Nabal's described in verse 2 as wealthy, verse 3 crude and mean, and in verse 25 wicked and ill-tempered fool, as his name suggests. I'm not sure why someone would call their child fool, but there it is. That's the way the Bible works sometimes. They live up to their name. He's married to a girl called Abigail. I would say not by choice. It's probably an arranged marriage like mine, because some people need all the help they can get. But she's described in verse 3 as sensible. And so I'm thinking, if she's sensible, she's not going to marry a fool. They're literally an odd couple, aren't they? One a fool, one sensible. And nevertheless, they're married till death do us part. Now, into the story, because David and his men, 600 men by this stage, have been running from Saul. They're living in the wilderness. They're on the run, which means they're not producing crops for themselves. They're just surviving on what can be provided for them and whatever they can get their hands on. But never once, while they're in the wilderness, did they steal from anyone. In fact, Nabal's shepherds describe David and his men as noble, and they never stole anything. In fact, it says in verse 16, they were like a wall of protection for the shepherds and the sheep. So when shearing time came, it's a great time of celebration, like a harvest. People expected to celebrate and be generous with what they have. God's given them, so they share it. And so David sends his men to see if Nabal's willing to share some of his bounty with them. And this is where Nabal lives up to his name. He sneers at them and he says, who does this outlaw think that he is? I'm not sharing anything with them. When David's men told David what Nabal said, he was predictable. He said, well, strap on your swords, let's go. And this is where Abigail earns her reputation as being sensible. She hears that David's on his way, and so she gathers a feast together, she jumps on a donkey, and she heads out to meet David to stop David coming and killing Nabal. And verse 23, when Abigail saw David, it says she quickly got off her donkey, she bowed low before him, she fell at his feet and said, this is interesting, I accept all the blame in this matter, my lord. There's an interesting side note here, that it's how to defuse a hostile situation, which what we're seeing on the news at the moment, is it's interesting. Grab a knee and admit your fault. It's pretty simple. This is what Abigail did. She bowed low and she admitted the fault. I mean, the Bible is just such a relevant book, isn't it? It gives such practical advice to conflict resolution. Like Joe Biden said the other day about Trump, rather than hold the Bible up, it wouldn't hurt you to read it occasionally. Because it's such a practical book, it actually helps us restore relationships. Abigail then begins to intercede for her husband Nabal and plead for him. And David actually listens to her and changes his mind. And so when Abigail gets home, she finds Nabal absolutely drunk, it says very drunk, and unable to talk to him, so she lets him sleep it off. In the morning when she wakes up, she tells Nabal how close he came to actual death, and Nabal gets such a shock, I suppose, that he has a stroke and later on dies. In verse 39, when David heard that Nabal was dead, he said, Nabal has received the punishment for his sin. It's an interesting verse, isn't it? David then sends a message to Abigail and he asks her for her hand in marriage. He actually proposes to her and he sends the servants, and her response is very interesting. She said, it says, she bowed low to the ground and responded, "I, your servant, will be happy to marry David. I would even be willing to become a slave, washing the feet of his servants."
Here's my heart, Lord. Here's my heart, Lord.
So what's this story got to do with anything, really? I mean, is it just a random story? As we saw in our series on Go Deeper, our discipleship series, one of our messages there was explaining the scriptures. And the idea of that was that Jesus went through the scriptures and explained the Old Testament scriptures concerning himself, where he fits in. And this passage is really no different. For me, the person in the story that represents Jesus is David. David's representing the kingdom of God. If Nabal had said to David, "We're your servants," like Abigail did, "We're your servants, just take what you need," there's no problem. Nabal had plenty. All he had to do was share with David. But because he rejected God, he received the punishment for his sin. And the Bible says that we've all sinned. And that includes me, includes you, includes everyone. Every one of us has sinned against God. And sin is basically being selfish. It's being self-centered. It's ignoring God's request to share with him, share love, share our provision, share whatever we have. Sin is simply doing what's right in our own eyes, not thinking about anybody else. And Nabal's a perfect example of this. And I would say the majority of the world probably live like that. We just are self-centered. We do what pleases ourselves. Unfortunately, like Nabal, he didn't realize David was coming. And the Bible says that Jesus is coming, and he's going to judge the world according to our sin. That means if we've all sinned, we're all in big trouble. And a lot of us, like Nabal, are unaware that this is coming. So what do we do about it? We simply take Abigail's advice and we follow her example. So who does Abigail represent? I'm sure you've probably picked up on it by now. Nabal is represented by the world, and David's represented by Jesus, or the kingdom. And so Abigail, for me, is representing the church. She's a sensible woman. She's not sinless. The church is not full of sinless and perfect people. They're regarded as sensible because they've actually responded to God. And that's the key. Our response. The difference between the world and the church is simply their response. The church is simply a group of people who have recognized what Jesus has done for them, who've acknowledged that he died on the cross and took the punishment for the sin that they deserved, and simply bowed their knee and admitted their sin, admitted their fault, and have accepted his offer of a relationship. Come and live with me. Come and be in relationship with me. And they've simply said yes to Jesus' proposal.
Here's my heart, Lord. Speak what is true. I am found. I am yours. I am loved. I'm made pure.
So that's why the church is the bride of Christ. They've simply accepted everything he's done for them. They've accepted his offer, said yes to the proposal. This offer goes out to everyone. It's not just individual people. This is an offer that went to Nabal, and he could have responded to it with a yes, but he responded with a no. What's the role of the church in this relationship? Look at Abigail's response. It's really interesting. She's accepted the offer of marriage, so she's in relationship with Jesus. But her attitude is that I'm willing to be the servant. I'm willing to even wash the servant's feet. That's a great example for me of the church. We're not here to be served, but to serve. We're here to serve the world, be servants of the world. And to me, that's what the church is all about, demonstrating Jesus' love and not becoming greater or more selfish or using the world to serve our means, but to be a service to the world. You see, it's the opposite of Nabal, who actually uses the world for their own means. But look at the result of that. Nabal is described as ill-tempered and selfish and mean. So you see, wealth doesn't produce happiness. Service does. Giving of yourself actually produces a joy and a happiness that you can't buy. So friends, this offer of Jesus is available to everyone, and all we need to do is respond to it, to simply say yes. And if that's something that you'd like to do, you can do that today. You can simply say yes to Jesus and his offer and or his proposal, and enter into this relationship and discover true meaning and purpose for life. Not to get as much as we can for happiness, but to give and to serve. And you'll find life will be totally opposite. Nabal, he's not getting what he wants, even though he's striving for it. And here's Abigail, described as sensible and beautiful, and she's entered into this lovely relationship. Friends, I encourage you to join me in that relationship with Jesus. And if you want to do that, you simply bow your head with me and pray. You could pray a prayer simply like this. Thank you for everything that you've done. I believe that your death is a substitute for the punishment that I deserve, and I admit that I have sinned against you. I say yes and accept your offer of a permanent relationship with you. It's a simple prayer. It's just simple yes to a proposal of love. Let me pray for you. Father, I just really pray today that as people consider this message, that you will speak to their hearts, you'll speak to their minds and help them to understand what you are saying to them. Lord, this offer to enter into a relationship with you is just nothing that we deserve. We deserve to be punished for our sin because we have rebelled against you. We've done things our own way. And so, Lord, I accept this offer to enter into relationship with you today, knowing that Jesus has paid the penalty for my sin. And I look forward to serving you and the church in any way, and using my gifts in any way that you want me to. And I pray for this in Jesus' mighty name. Amen.